What's going on, real ass fans? This is the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez. Did you know that we do this show live twice a week, every Monday and Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern? You can watch the show live exclusively at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Gas Digital members not only get the live stream, but you also get the video version of the show, live chat, archived episodes, plus brand new episodes 5 days before they go to Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere else. We've also got a bunch of other great shows on the network, like The Josta Show, Legion of Skanks, Bruce Buffer's It's Time, and brand new, starting right now, Believe You Me, with UFC middleweight champion Michael the Count Bisping. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. When you check out, use the promo code RAP, and you save $1 on monthly membership. Plus, you get a 14-day free trial to see if you like it. That's just $6 per month. That's GasDigitalNetwork.com. Promo code RAP when you check out. And even if you can't subscribe for the exclusive content, you can still help us out by going to iTunes right now, subscribing for free for the audio version, leaving us a positive review and a 5-star ranking. Thanks for listening. Keep being a real ass dude.
Hi, everyone. This is Bruce Buffer, and I'm inviting you to tune in to my new podcast on Gas Digital Network. It's Time! We talk about everything on It's Time. UFC, movies, current events, sex, drugs, rock and roll. You name it, we talk about it because we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Don't worry, we'll voice it for you. We are available free every week, also on video on Gas Digital Network. Check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. Why? It's time!
This is the Real Ass Podcast. Here's your host, Luis J. Gomez.
Welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. We are on the road right now. Zach Amico's in the front seat. We're going to throw on in a second. I only got two microphones. We're going to have to find another microphone for this trip. Here's the deal, okay? We right now are on our long-awaited trip to Los Angeles, California. It is May 20th right now. This is going to be the Monday show that's coming out, okay? So this one's going to be a little bit of a road show, a little bit of a mashup. We'll be in different stages of the trip on this episode, but I think that's kind of fun. I am the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake, Luis J. Gomez, and as always with me, Zach and Mika. You want to say hi? Talk for a minute.
Hello.
Zach. Let's chat for a minute.
I'm here.
Are you all weird?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you going to be able to get, like, are you going to be able to snipe it? You're not going to be able to snipe in on these road trips like this.
Yeah, it's going to be tremendous, Luis. This was a fantastic idea.
Thank you very much. So, okay, well, here, give it back to Feeny for a second. Okay, we're gonna have a good show today, okay? Right now, we're in a cab. Right now, our cab driver is fucking dope. First of all, I gave my cab driver a $5 tip on a $24 ride. That is unfounded in my life.
That's barely 20%.
It's actually
less than 20%.
It was a pretty incredible tip for a cab ride.
It's pretty okay.
I got to be honest with you. I don't really tip cab drivers a lot of money. I give them, here's the way that I work. And I'm going to get the cab driver's opinion on this, actually, because I really want to get his opinion on this. Here's the way that I work, okay? If you're driving me, if it's under $10, it's a fucking dollar tip. A dollar tip, period. I don't give a shit. If it's between 10 and 20, it's a $2 tip. 20 or more, it's a $3 tip. I don't give a shit if it's a $5,000 cab ride. You're getting a $3 tip.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
That's what you get every single time with me.
Do you expect him to agree with you?
I want to see what he says. Zach, here, hold on one second. Zach, take the microphone for a minute.
I'm sorry for this, man.
No, why are you apologizing to him? He fucking loves it. Excuse me, cab driver.
Yeah.
He has a name.
What is his name?
Dean.
Dean, is that a terrible tip? If you give somebody a cab ride that was $8... and then they give you a 10, and then they said, can I have a dollar back?
Like Danny Glover.
Like Danny Glover? Or yeah. Is that
20, he gave me a dollar.
Oh,
Danny Glover gave you fucking $1.
Cheapskate.
That cheap motherfucker.
That's right.
I thought he meant Danny Glover's as a euphemism.
No, it was. Believe me. As a matter of fact, you remember when Danny Glover made a big deal out of cab driver not picking him up because he was black?
Yeah.
I wouldn't pick him up because he's a cheapskate.
He's a cheap fuck.
Man.
What about that? Do you think that... Be honest about this, because we're never going to say your real name. This is a very popular podcast. We're world famous.
Go ahead. No problem. Go ahead.
But let me ask you a question. Yeah. And be honest, because I really would love a candid conversation with a cab driver. I think this is interesting. Do you want to pick up black people less than white people? Answer this honestly. Let's say you saw on both sides of the street, you're driving right down the middle of the street, the avenue, there's a white guy on one side of the street, a black guy on the other side of the street, okay? Mm-hmm. Would you be more likely to pick up the white guy?
Honestly, I'll pick up anybody that looks like had money.
Money. So the white guy, you can be honest.
Well, listen, I actually picked up a rapper. So he looks like somebody you wouldn't pick up. He ended up a rapper and he handed me a $10 extra.
Was that Danny Glover?
No, it wasn't Danny Glover.
It was a different guy.
Danny Glover is a history maker, a cheapskate, big time.
He's a fucking cheap fuck. So, but hold on. Let's say a dollar tip on an $8 cab ride. You think that's really
cheap?
Here's
how it goes. Every $5 add a dollar. So a $5 trip is a dollar.
Yeah.
$10, $2. $20, $4. So that's the way I
$25, $5?
That's actually perfect.
So I'm above because it was 24, like 30.
You're generous.
I'm very generous. Thank you very much.
It's the first time Lewis has ever heard that.
You know what? I'm actually upset now. I don't like that. I don't want that.
He doesn't like to be generous?
No, I don't want the rumors to get out there.
He's worse than Danny Glover.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
He can't be worse than, what's her name, Joan Rivers.
Joan Rivers was bad?
75 cents.
No.
75 cents? Oh,
good riddance.
You know who was actually good? And I picked him up, and he says, I wasn't going to pick him up. I was off duty. But anyway, he ended up in my cab. He was going to work. And he says, you don't want to refuse me. And I go, I refuse you. Why not? He goes, I'm Art Garfunkel. I go, what kind of funny name is that?
Who was it?
Art Garfunkel.
He goes, it's a funny name, but I made it famous. So I said, are you one of those famous cheapskates? He goes, oh, my God, who was a cheapskate? So I told him all the list.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what? Here is $20.
Wow.
And he signed it to me. He's a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
Nice man, though.
And he doesn't have a lot of money left over.
And guess what? I will pick him up in a heartbeat.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. Who is there anybody else famous that you picked up?
Cynthia Nixon.
The check. I've talked to so many cab drivers who have picked up Cynthia Nixon.
No, but also, I picked up, what's his name? That guy that made a movie about a boxing, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Cheapskate.
Oh. Cheapskate. Cheapskate. Whoa!
We're getting all the hot takes today on the Real Ass Podcast.
I fucking love it. This is great. Why was
Real Ass Dude of the Week?
What did you? He is definitely Real Ass Dude of the Week. In fact, Shannon, hit the music.
He's a real ass dude. He's got bad attitude. One might feel he's rude. He's a real ass dude.
He's a real ass dude. So hold on, what? So Jake Gyllenhaal, he was a cheapskate. How much did he tip you?
Listen, anybody that who's famous and give $1.20, $1.50, $1.60, that's a cheapskate to me.
That's true. Yeah, that's the thing.
I don't even tip $1.20, $1.50.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a cab driver.
Exactly.
Based on tips, you know.
Yeah.
So I do tip whenever I can. I mean, if like I said, I base it like this. $5, I give $1 extra.
Right.
$5 fare,
Let me ask you this. Let's say you get a person that's really drunk in the cab, right? Really, really hot.
Drunk, just so you know, drunk people, they tip so well because they don't know.
They don't know what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
They have no collection of money.
They call that wallet rape. You just take it. They don't even know what's going on.
You ever juice the fare where you like maybe go around the block a couple extra times?
Believe me, the way it goes, the less time that drunk guy is in my cab, better.
Because you don't want him throwing up in the cab and stuff like that.
So it's not worth just having him in my cab for a while. So it's better off, drop him off. He throw money on you, he's gone.
Have you ever hooked up with a passenger? Like some chick was like, I'll suck your dick if you'll give me a free ride to the airport.
That is a scary one because it happens once before, not to me, but some cab driver. Zach
was the guy.
Bit him?
They bit his dick?
Oh, yeah.
No. So that's an old wives' tale. That's like when you hear, like, the fucking, you know, it's like Candyman.
You gotta be very careful, you know?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, but
sure, I'll put AC.
Are you a married man?
I'm married with two kids, buddy. Yeah.
And you gotta add $2 every time you bite his dick.
So this is pretty good. We're doing pretty good on time right now because I was running late. The train took a very, very long time. So I jumped out. I got in this guy's cab. He fucking zipped me right down. Usually cab drivers make me feel very uncomfortable. I got to be honest with you, sir.
No problem. I had that before. I had that.
You know why?
People come in and they're like, they expect something else, and I treat them like normal, and they're like, oh, my God.
No, you're a good guy, but here's the problem, right? When I'm not in control of my destiny, okay, and I'm waiting for somebody else to drive, or I'm waiting for a subway, it makes me very anxious. It makes me very upset. So I get very angry, and a lot of times I take it out on cab drivers, right?
But here's the thing. You made a major mistake. Subway in the weekend is a no-no. You know that.
That is true. Yeah. I fucked up. No. But that's why, like, MTA drivers, I'll spit in their direction if I see them, if the train's running late.
Who's that?
MTA workers.
Subway.
Oh, the worst. Let me ask you this. How do you feel about Uber and Lyft and all these guys? Because they're coming in and they're taking business now.
Oh, they really kick in this business big time. Medallion won down. I only lease the car, so.
So you don't really give a fuck?
No, I don't really care. I'm going into trucking, so.
Are you going to trucking?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Trucking. There you go.
But the thing is, Uber really killed this business. Medallions went up 6 years ago, won $1.2 million.
Yeah.
Now it's under $300,000-$400,000. I heard somebody just bought it from the bank, $170,000.
Wow.
That's a killer.
Well, that's,
man.
You know, to be honest, it's good though. Technically, isn't good. Why wouldn't you?
Why not?
As no a driver, problem. Why wouldn't you go buy your own car and say, fuck a medallion?
Absolutely. But here's the thing. These people actually bit. They actually borrow money against their medallion.
Yeah.
So let's say some people bought medallions for $300,000. They bought three or four houses against that medallion.
Yeah. Oh, and now it's losing money.
Oh, so some people actually lost not just the medallion.
Their homes, cars. Oh shit. Let me tell the people that are listening that are not from New York City the way it works. In New York, the Taxi and Limousine Commission issues medallions, which are the plates you see on the front of the taxi cabs. And basically, there's a limited number of those. They only issue a certain amount of those, and they're very expensive. They make you purchase them for... It's basically the fucking government being able to get their hand in every single aspect of it. Not only are they going to tax you as a driver and somebody who lives here and somebody who's spending money, not only are they taxing your income as the driver of the car, but then they also say, hey, fuck it, let's get $1 million off the top. Why not? They're fucking scumbags. They're a piece of shit. And this is why I love Lyft and Uber, because they come out and they say, fuck it, you know, and they make it. Now they make it so they had to lower the price of the medallions. They make it so they can't have a government sponsored monopoly, which is fucking awful. It's the worst. And that's why you'll notice it says in the back of every cab, assaulting a driver is punishable by up to 25 years in prison. And the reason they do that is because people were punching cab drivers in the head so much because it's a fucking monopoly and there's no other way to get around.
Let me ask you this. This is Mike Feeney, by the way. I was never properly introduced. I want to ask this. How often do people run out on you?
Listen, I had people run out of the cab. I don't chase them.
Yeah, you...
Once I did that once, the guy ended up having a gun.
Oh, no way.
Since then, I did not chase girls. Upper East Side girls, let's put it that way.
Right.
I
talked to a cab driver once who said that he had he was in an hour cab ride to a guy. The guy just ran out of the cab and he lost all that money, but he's like, what am I gonna, you know, I'm not gonna chase it and then lose my car.
Well, do you remember
the
that
the thing is, if you listen, if you have a female passenger in your cab and you end up chasing her, she may have 3-4 guys waiting for you because you may have cash on you.
Yeah.
And that's a state.
Or she might, the glass is half full, and maybe she has 3-4 hot chicks waiting for you. They all start sucking your cock when you get there. You got a very negative attitude sometimes, man. You got to be positive sometimes.
That's
great. It's great. Remember that movie, the Brad Pitt movie where the little kids all go to jail because they steal the, Zach, you're going to remember this, Sleepers. Remember Sleepers? No?
Do not remember Sleepers.
Wow, yeah, but they go, the thing they play, the game they play is, right, a kid goes up, orders a hot dog, right, and then the guy goes to give him the hot dog, and then he runs with the hot dog. And when the hot dog guy goes to chase the kid for the money, the other kids come and they steal the whole cart.
Yeah.
You remember the scene from the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
They steal the whole cart, and then they feast on hot dogs, right? That's that, and that's the idea. So this one time, they do it, they go to steal the cart, and then the cart driver, like, I guess he grabs it, and he's at the top of like a subway stair, okay? And somehow they get there.
Yeah,
you remember the scene?
Yeah,
they drop it down and they hit somebody and they nearly kill somebody.
That's right.
And the kids have to go to
jail.
Yeah, to jail.
Yeah,
and they're raped in jail by Kevin Bacon, yeah. Which is just, you know, if you're going to be raped by a dude, yeah. Kevin Bacon's not the one you want, ultimately.
So they got their hot dogs after all.
Yeah, they did.
Which airline?
Oh, shit. Virgin, right?
Virgin
America, obviously.
Yeah. So we're already at the airport. This is how fucking good this guy is. No worries. I've been upset this whole day, and this guy fucking calmed my fucking things.
Yeah, he came in into the cab.
I gave him a $5 tip, and now he's going to get at least a $7 tip for this one. This is a big one. This is a big one. But yeah, that's what would happen. If you left your cab, then somebody could fucking steal your cab, right?
Yeah. Listen, they can have the cab. It's GPS track.
Yeah, who gives a shit? It's not even your cab. It's not even your medallion.
You worry about somebody pulling a gun on you, and then you're not going to be going home at all.
Yeah, that's true. What about... yeah, has anybody ever tried to fight you? Because my uncle was a cab driver in New York City, and he got hit in the head with a hammer.
But don't forget, listen, people... They can have, like, you remember you said, I'll take it out of a cab driver? You remember when you said that?
Wait, say that again?
When you said you're having a bad day and all of a sudden I'll take it out of a cab.
Yeah, because you're running late. Now you take it out on this guy.
So, believe me, people will be walking in the street. Pedestrian, they think that you fucked their mother. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And they go on you just for no reason. So, for me... I just let it go. I don't
how
take
fucking?
It.
How much do you hate bicyclists in this goddamn city, man?
Oh, bicyclists are the worst.
Kill them all, right? Every last one of them.
It's not like about killing all. You know, doors, and bicycles.
Oh yeah.
Are the worst thing.
Yeah.
And it's fun to see them fly over one.
I've seen so many accidents with bikes. Matter of fact, do you see in the city white bikes?
Oh,
on
yeah,
the pole.
That's where somebody died, right? Yeah.
There's so many of them.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
White there's bicycle, so many. Whenever it's tied up to. If you ever see a white bicycle on the street, that's
that means
a sight.
Oh, really?
Somebody died
in that spot.
Oh, I can jerk off at that spot. I'll just start whipping my dick. Ah, oh, yeah. Fuck you, bicyclists. It's fine. No, it's good, though, actually. It's good to have all the bikes. I like the city bikes. Have you ever done that?
It's for a fucking people
no,
who don't know how to
no,
ride.
Oh, dude, they're fucking pretty cool, dude. If you want to get around in New York City, if they had a city bike in Harlem, and they don't, but if they did, I would have taken a city bike to you guys and been to you in 15 minutes.
Because in Harlem, they're just called free bikes.
He never ends it, guys. All right, look, we got to fucking wrap up. We're about to be at the airport. That was the first part of this Real Ass podcast. With Dean, right?
Yes.
Dean, you're the fucking man. You're better than... We had a host on the show called Chris Scopo, and you are literally, and I mean this, 20 times as good as he is on this show.
Thank you, buddy.
Very, very good. Are you from Brazil?
I'm Moroccan.
Moroccan. Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Casablanca, Morocco.
Hell yeah, man. That's. I didn't know that was in Africa until I was like
That's
in my
exactly
30s.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, that was a... I was like, what is that in fucking... Is that in... I don't know. South America. It's from Morocco. It's fun. But then you find out it's African. You're like, whoa, no way. All right. Listen, man. Real Ass Podcast, part one of the show is done. We're going to be in the airport. Maybe I'll throw this on the flight. Why not? We'll interview some fucking passengers. Passenger 57. We'll find passenger 57 on the flight. There is a passenger 57, right? What is that?
I don't know what that means.
Isn't passenger the passenger number? Like, does everyone get assigned a number on a flight? Is that what it is? No? Nobody's going to answer me? Suck my fucking dicks, all of you. All right, we'll be right back. Real Ass Podcast, Puerto Rican Rattlesnake Louis Che Gomez, Real Ass Dude, alone in a room right now with a beautiful girl. This is rare.
A pink room.
This is rare. It's a pink room, guys. Mm-hmm. It does seem kind of like an analogy for like...
Pussy.
The sexual chemistry between us, Kim. Here's a funny part as well. Like, I'm not a very flirty guy, but as soon as the microphones come on, for some
you
reason,
changed
it opens
instantly.
Me the fuck up.
You changed instantly.
Right?
I mean, the second you hit record, something shifted in your eyes, and I was like, should I run?
Yeah, you really should. I become a rapist every time I'm podcasting.
A bad podcast to be involved in.
Not good. You know, maybe
you should name this podcast To Catch a Podcast.
Yes, that's hilarious.
Where you just bring girls in.
And then I call the police on myself.
Yeah.
That's I turn myself in at the end of every
for
podcast.
For flirting too much.
It's too much. Here's the deal. You guys, I'm kind of piecing this all together as one big podcast for the trip in LA for the Monday show. Zach is out right now doing another podcast. Kimberly Congdon is the guest right now,
yeah,
in quote unquote studio or my Airbnb, my pink Airbnb.
Should we turn this off?
Should we?
I bet we should.
I don't think we could hear it.
No?
It's fine. I'll turn it off because if you're cold.
No, I'm not cold at all, but I just didn't.
I think it's fine. I don't think that they could have picked it up.
Oh, okay.
These microphones weren't gonna hear that.
Okay. They're not like my kind of microphones.
Yeah, you have some crazy fucking
shitty
microphones.
No, like really shitty ones.
Well, if you want to get technical, it's the difference between a dynamic microphone and a condenser microphone. Mm. Kim, condenser microphones pick up everything in the room. Dynamic microphones only about an inch in front of the mic.
Let's go back to you flirting with me.
I'm very so Kim. Nice tits. Love those tits. So listen, here's the deal. Okay, I'm in LA. On Tuesday night, I am battling at Roast Battle, Kimberly Congdon. Mm-hmm. So what we decided to do, we wanted to get to know each other because in the roasting world, it's better if you kind of know each other. It's better if you're friendly, if there's a dynamic there. And I think this is a huge advantage for our battle versus the other battles that are happening for the New York versus LA Roast Battle.
I agree.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've really gotten to know each other a lot better.
Mm.
Why'd you say it like that?
Because I'm a creep.
Do you agree or like not agree?
I do
that
agree.
Was just like a very like middle grunt.
No, I do agree. Hmm. I do think that we've gotten to know each other. We went out to breakfast this morning.
We did.
We went out to the Griddle Cafe in
and
Los
you
Angeles.
Didn't listen to me. I told you to get the better meal. And yeah. You ended up eating mine.
I ended up eating. It was phenomenal. It was very. Here's what I like about California, because everyone knows that I'm back on my health kick. Okay. If you want healthy options in Cali, they're fucking there. They're at your fingertips. Okay. You don't need to go and be creative. Here's what I want to do. If in New York City, I want to be creative, they look at me like I'm an asshole. I'm like, I need some eggs. Please hold the fucking fries and, you know, no bread. And you got to put this on the side. Right here in all the menus in Cali, they have some douchebag no carb version.
Yeah.
Because they know that you have to look dope in order to make it.
Dude, we're trying to get booked.
That's it.
That's it.
So it's great. So we had a very protein heavy egg plate, which was really fucking dope. And I appreciate it. And they hooked us up. Shout out to the Griddle Cafe. Where's that at?
The Griddle Cafe on Sunset Boulevard.
That's it, man.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking dope. And then across the street from here, I went to a place called Love Baked Wings. Guess what they make?
Baked wings. I've been there.
It's fucking dope.
They're amazing. They're really good.
This is why people move to California. If you go anywhere else in the world, people look disgusting. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's because nowhere else in the world are they that conscious of what people are eating.
Yeah.
I love it.
People really care about themselves here. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, everybody in LA just cares about themselves. And it's like, it's so true. Everyone just wants to look the best and be the healthiest and then have the best jobs. And it's like, who cares?
The best version of yourself. Why do we look at that like that's a bad thing?
I don't know. They're like, I just want to be home with my Diet Coke and my fucking TV. And it's like, okay, then do that.
Yeah. But that's not good. Why do we look at narcissism and a drive for success and people wanting to look good and feel good? Why is that a negative attribute to most people? And even in LA, you're not really supposed, you're supposed to pretend that that's like, oh, you're not supposed to be shallow.
People, well, no, you're not supposed, when someone compliments you, like someone says, oh, you're really good looking. You're not supposed to say, I know.
Mm.
Because that's rude, but it's like, oh, you're not supposed to say, thank you so much, I know. That's if you said that to a girl, you're like, you're very pretty. And she said, thank you so much, I know. Mm. That's so polite. And she maybe does know that she's pretty, but that seems rude. And why? Why can't she just feel pretty?
That would kind of turn me on because I'm also into like fucking cunty chicks. So if a chick was like, yeah, I know, and then kind of gave me that attitude, I'm like, ah, goddamn, my dick just moved.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's my kind of chick. But
also everyone should just be able to say that. If you think you're pretty, you should be like, thank you so much.
Of course. If you go out, okay, here's the difference, right? If you go out and you're fucking looking good and you're fucking doing your thing, okay?
You should be like, I look good.
Yeah, you shouldn't, and you should be able to say it. And for people, humility is for the weak. I got to be honest with you guys, okay? If you're out there right now, here's what you should be doing. You should be striving to be the absolute best version of yourself. And if you feel as if you're the fucking best version of yourself one day, be proud of that fact.
Yeah, at the same time, it's also very important to be self-aware.
Hmm.
Some people have no fucking clue what's going on.
That's also true.
And then they're just making things worse for themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like a fine line too.
Yeah, you're
right?
You're very self-aware, Kim.
I am.
See, Kim's a hot chick. Go look her up. Kim Congdon. Very funny, but also very hot. We've been talking about
Thank
this
you.
A lot today. Just about, you know, just being a hot chick in comedy and how it does, it lends itself to so many advantages. You know what I'm saying? It's a great chick. But here's how hot Kim is, okay? She dresses like she's homeless. It's great. It's a new level of confidence, okay? Because if you're a hot chick, you know, you said it yourself before. You're like, when I go on stage, people think like, what is, you know, you don't get dressed up at all. You kind of downplay it.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other style of hot chick.
Yeah.
Like your style right now, this whole thing right there.
I'm literally in a bra and sweatpants. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. I'm completely aroused. It's because you don't care. She's wearing nerd fuck glasses.
Yeah.
You know, I could tell you rolled out of it. You didn't do your hair.
No.
You put no makeup on.
No.
But it works so much better than the chick who got herself, or I shouldn't say better, it works differently.
It works differently.
It has the same effect, but differently.
But sometimes that works better. The what? Hot chick that puts the makeup on.
Hmm.
But you know, yeah, it works both ways,
Can
right?
you show me a picture of you where you think you're like the hottest version of yourself, because you have to have.
I just
got
like a headshot that I really liked,
and that's like this is how you would present yourself.
Yeah,
and I will let you know if this garbage homeless version of Kim Congdon,
okay,
which is before me right now, which I love. I love this version. Okay,
yeah,
I'm not downplaying.
No,
who you
no,
are.
I don't think that you are at all.
I wouldn't want to smell you, but it's okay. The way
I actually smell really good too. Mm. I mean, maybe not right now. I haven't showered, but.
So I want to see the best version because I think that we're kind of taught that we have to downplay things like looks and money and success. And I don't know, man,
Actually wearing the same thing in
the
picture.
Same thing that you're wearing right now. It's hilarious. Yeah.
Something like maybe one of these headshots, I think I look really good.
Nope.
No.
You're way better right now.
Really?
Way. If I saw this version of you or that version, and you're wearing the same thing.
Yeah.
The same thing. I like this version more.
Really?
Yeah. This one, first of all, the big Puerto Rican girl hoop earrings.
I'm trying to, you know.
It's
trying to get those.
It's very Latina.
I'm trying to get those Latina commercials.
You really are.
You know?
Are you trying to be an actress?
Well, I mean, no. I'm trying to be a successful comedian.
Yeah, and you have to kind of do everything.
Well, but I'm very interested in acting too.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be an actress, but I'm very interested. I want to do it also.
Yeah.
But that's not what my main.
So it's just stand up is your main
stand up and writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two are pretty side to side. Like I really want to write for a TV show.
Yeah.
Really bad.
I the idea of writing for somebody else's TV show is a nightmare to me.
I have so much stuff that I want to put out.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, and give and write. And I have like, I almost like get off in watching people be impressed by me.
Hmm.
That's like everything for me. Watching people get, I love watching people that don't believe in me, like do a set, watch me do a set and stuff.
And then they see you and they're like, oh shit, this chick is
fucking
dope.
I like to see that change. It like.
Yeah, that gets you going.
I almost prefer you not like me in the beginning and then grow to like me.
That's a story of my life. I'm very unlikable upon first glance. Like people meet me and they're like, I fucking hate that guy. And then they get to know me and they're like, all right, that guy's fucking, he's super cool. He's a nice guy.
Right.
But I think I'm kind of a tough pill to swallow. You need to make yourself less approachable. You're very approachable.
Yeah. Well, the thing with me is I'm very approachable. I seem very nice.
Yeah.
And then that's just the way I look. And then you talk to me and people, I guess, say, you told me that I'm kind of like bitchy.
You have a reputation as being very bitchy, but you haven't been bitchy to me at all.
That's the problem is people that don't know me think I'm bitchy because I just don't like to, this is going to sound so cunty. I don't like to waste my breath.
Yeah.
If I have nothing to say and if you're not giving anything good to a conversation, we're not going to talk.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about the fucking weather or the new trick your dog learned or like if you have nothing valuable that's like work. And I know that people just want to talk sometimes, but I just feel like I don't have time for it. But then so it's like people they see me. They're like, she's approachable. They talk to me. They're like, oh, she does not want to have a conversation. But then the people that like dig deeper and actually talk to me end up really liking me and always are like, oh, I thought you were a cunt or I thought you didn't like me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Once you get like deeper, I was like, oh, I just didn't have anything to talk about. So I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. I think it's in comedy, especially because everyone puts on a front or maybe entertainment or you know what? I shouldn't say that. Like in life. You know, this is a human thing. This isn't a comedy thing. Sometimes I relate it too much to comedy. This is a human being thing. We're putting on a front constantly, and we're constantly wanting to get people to like us online, on Facebook, on social media. We're constantly putting out this version of ourselves where we're like, hey, everyone like me. And then when you have people that don't do that, like you or I, then it's like, oh, what the fuck is this guy's problem? But I'm just going like, no, I'm just not really being a phony. I'm not spending my time
You should like me more for being like this.
Yes.
I'm being so real.
You should be appreciative of the fact that I'm not fucking wasting my... I'm not wasting your time either. If you don't like me, I'm going to let you know very quickly that you don't like
me. You know what's wrong with that is people like us that do that and we're honest, people still think that we're trying to hide behind something because nobody's real. So then it almost turns into like a reverse thing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like it goes too deeply. Like, they
think that this
can't
is a
be-
front or an act.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, I'm actually being me. Like there's nothing more I can give you.
Of course.
This is it.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. That's the freedom about this as well. And this is the Real Ass Podcast, by the way. So it's funny that you're using terms like real. We really did coin that phrase. I try to almost like not even think about what I'm going to say and literally just kind of come from the gut at all times. And I say a lot of stupid shit. And I think we're going to get in trouble for a lot of it one day.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, I think that's where the funniest shit comes from. And I think too many people right now are so concerned with the exterior that they have and the way people are perceiving them, even their jokes.
It's different.
They're overthinking the way their jokes are perceived instead of going like, hold on, let me just say what I think is funny and then we'll figure it out from there.
Well, you know what's fucked up is now with all the technology and us being recorded and us putting all our stuff on social media, it's like before when comedians have been saying all the fucked up shit that we're all getting in trouble for now. The comedians that have been booked on TV shows and movies have been saying this shit, but they didn't have a Facebook to keep it on.
Of course.
And they didn't.
And nobody could share the idea so quickly.
Yeah.
John Travolta was raping dude masseuses for years, but there was no way to share that information until recently.
He just told people at parties.
Yeah.
And then it was just like maybe a rumor.
That was it.
That's it.
That's really it. You could walk across the street and be like, hey, did you hear John Travolta raped his masseuse? Like, no way.
Yeah. And it kind of his doctor. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah, it was a game of telephone.
Yeah.
John Travolta probably never even raped his masseuse, to be honest.
Did you hear John Travolta got raped?
Yeah, John Travolta got raped by his something. I'm not good at improv. Okay, so, Kim. All right, Kim, we have our battle on Tuesday. I know you have to go to San Diego kind of soon. You're headlining tonight, which is incredible.
I have to shower before I do the show.
You can shower here. It's not a problem.
I'm for sure not showering here.
It's kind of a big deal.
1,000%.
We have a really nice shower. I'm not even being an asshole
right
now.
If you're listening to this podcast, I want you to be sure that you know that I'm not showering.
When we come
here.
Back, I will let you know if she showered here. I'm very convincing. Once the microphones go off, I'll go back into nice Lewis. Then it's like, Kim just showered. No big deal. Who cares? Whatever. She fucking parallel parked her car. You're not getting out anyway. It's over.
I know. I can't even think about it.
Both
I'm
of
stressed.
Her bumpers are touching. I don't even know physically how it was possible to get in. Both bumpers are touching two cars. It's insane. It's fucking crazy.
I did it good, though.
I don't know. If you get the car out, I'll be very impressed. So you literally might have to shower here, okay? Kim, I'm gay. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I'm homosexual, so.
Oh, then we can just shower together.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, yeah.
Just kiss each other. It's all gay-like.
Okay.
Great would that be? All right, so we're battling on Tuesday. We've been doing research about each other. We're obviously not going to give each other any, you know, anything that we're saying about each other, any previews, no spoilers here.
No.
But what? Let me ask you, what content are you going after? What's the angles, I should say? I'll tell you what angles I'm going after with you. I don't give a shit. Let me explain to people that are listening about this, because some of you guys listen to the Roastmasters online or the podcast version, which is going to be coming out in June, or you watch it on the Sands YouTube channel. It's not really about beating. It is about beating the other person. You want to win. You want bragging rights. You want to win. I want to fuck you up. I'm not pretending that I don't want to win.
We both want to win. This is why we're fucking comedians. We both want to win so bad.
You want to be the best in anything you do,
always.
Right? However, it's much more important. I want
to
also
have
the
battle.
Best battle of the night. I want to stand out as like, oh shit, Lewis and Kim fucking brought it. They went, you know, they went dark, they went deep, they fucking really had fun with each other. And that's why I think it's good that we've been hanging out. We made out, we had sex, we did this podcast
that's
together.
That's not true.
Guys, she's being really childish about this. I don't even care. It was I suggested it. I'll admit that. I suggested we should have sex. We'll probably be able to battle each other a little bit better if we do that. She was like, fine, okay, one time, don't come in me. And I didn't. So anyway, so
thank you so much.
I'm a gentleman. What am I going to say?
For all of that.
I'm a really sweet guy.
Hilarious.
So, but I think it's more important to kind of have that connection, to get to know each other a little bit, have fun with each other. It's not going to seem like it's the first time we're talking to each other on stage like these other people are doing.
I hate battling someone and really looking at their face for the first time when I'm on stage.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know you.
Yeah. So now we feel like it's a fucking thing.
Yeah.
And there is a little bit of a sexual chemistry. It's in the air. I can feel it. I've talked about this so much on the show. I can just tell, you know, when a chick's attracted to me. Definitely got
you
the
think
vibe.
I'm attracted to you?
Very much so. Very much so.
You think I'm attracted to you very much so?
Very much so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I don't want to make it weird. Anyway, so What are some of the angles that you're going on this battle?
You know, I am
obviously dead.
I'm really just still, you can't, I feel like you can't just say that you think I'm attracted to you and then just move into the roast battle.
Come on.
All right, hold on. I mean, you know, I started, you know, I've been very lazy. So I think I'm going to talk about, honestly, most of my jokes are just like wordplay.
Yeah.
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 But basically, I bring up one of most of the things that you told me.
Yeah. So my dead parents.
Parents, son.
Mom, drug addict.
Mom.
Yeah.
Your fucking deadbeat career, dad, I'm gone. The shit that you're doing now.
Yeah, the podcast stuff.
Yeah.
Interesting.
What about you?
Not telling you. Sucker.
That's okay.
You do not give up your information before you go into battle. First rule of the
roast
battle.
I literally just told you all the things that you messaged me.
Everyone knows that. No, I mean, what am I talking about? What are my angles with you?
It's just like everything you've told me I've been working on. So it's like, I'm assuming for you, it's like you're going to talk about my stand-up career.
Yeah, a little bit
about
your career.
Me being a baby in comedy, probably sucking some dick.
Do you?
Do I suck dick? Do I?
Interesting.
I have, yeah.
Have you, really?
Yeah, I've tried a dick.
That's fun. No, I'm going to go with, I'm going to take 3 minutes. 3 minutes? Okay. Yeah. All right. We're going to get out of here anyway. I'm going to let you get out of here.
But now I need to hear what you're going to talk about.
It's a lot. Let's see. All right. It's definitely about your career.
Mm-hmm.
A little physically, what you look like.
Okay.
Let me see. Where's my phone? I don't remember. What are my jokes? Now I'm like.
Are you going to talk about my pregnant sister?
No, I'm not going to talk about your pregnant sister, but now I kind of want to. I haven't, I'm not completely done writing my jokes yet. Okay. So now.
Oh, my dead friend, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely talking about your dead friend.
Mm.
You have a friend who died in a car accident last year on my birthday.
On April Fool's.
April Fool's Day was my birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm definitely talking about that. I think that's a great topic.
It's a great topic.
If you're roast battling, anybody who's a comic listening out there, if you're roast battling somebody, ask them about recent family or friend deaths. That's always a good angle.
Yeah, because it's so painful.
Yeah,
and it's like good. You want to get deep in there. You know?
I think a big part of it is you want people to almost cringe and then be broken out of their cringe with like laughter. They're like, oh shit, like mm-hmm. That's really funny. It was so clever that even though I felt terrible about laughing about this, he still made me laugh. And that's what, in my opinion, the equation of like a killer, not even a roast battle joke, but a joke in general. Like
yeah.
You can get a fucking, like I'm doing a joke now in my act about how I looked through my ex's, not her email, but like her search history. And she had Googled ways to stop squirting during sex. And it's like people are like, oh, that's brutal. Imagine they put themselves finding themselves like in that situation. But the joke is so funny that even though they're cringing, it turns into a monster joke.
It's so true, yeah.
Because they start laughing and, you know, in my opinion, I think it's a great way to do it. So
is that, I feel like that was you just trying to tell me that you made a girl squirt.
No. This is her new guy.
Oh,
this is the new guy that was dating her after me. I had never made her squirt.
Oh, okay.
It was a nightmare.
That was the joke.
No, yeah,
okay.
That's the
I thought
joke.
You were just telling me that she Googled
no,
it.
No, I just want you to know that I can make women squirt. So.
Yeah, I was
not
like,
even
okay,
a big deal,
real
Kim.
Casual drop
wanna...
in. He's like, one more thing about stand-up. So my ex-girlfriend needs a squirt?
What do you think is wrong with me? You really think I just bring that up casually like that?
No, I was...
So Kim, you're going to tell me... Hold on, while I'm looking at these up. You're going to tell me you're not even slightly attracted to me?
A little bit, yeah.
A little bit. I know it. Same.
A little bit.
Even you admitting a little bit means that, yeah, I know what's up.
You think you could fuck, but you can't.
Not right now. You have 3 minutes. You just said it in the microphone. Obviously, I'm not going to take 3 minutes.
I am attracted to you, but
we'll never hook up.
No.
Hold on. Let me find these
Why?
Jokes.
You guys should see his face right now. He's like so convinced we're going to bang.
Never. What are you, crazy?
Okay.
Let's see. Okay. See, I don't want to tell you that one. No, I'm not going to tell you what that is. That's just too good of a joke that I'm not telling you what the concept of that one is. Yeah, this is your career. That's stupid. I'm probably not going to do that one. Career. This one's career and your looks at the same time.
I love that.
University of Florida. Yeah, that's really it. Yeah, and cool. Then your mom being... in an abusive relationship and addiction running in your family, things like that.
Yeah.
Should be good.
I'm excited. Really good.
Now I'm just like in my head about how attracted you are to me. So anyway, look, we're going to wrap up this section of the Real Ass Podcast.
You're just saying that because you're very attracted to me.
I've said that. I've been saying this for weeks on the podcast.
Yeah, but I thought you were fucking. Oh, I don't know.
No,
I thought you were fucking with me.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been talking about it?
Oh, yeah.
No one's tagged me.
They know. They're my fans. They're not going to fucking. They're not going against me.
They're Why didn't they tell
side.
Me?
All right, look, listen.
I'm going to send some of my fans, my three fans over there.
Yeah.
And they're going to spy on your fans.
I love it. I love it. Please. All right, look, guys, we're going to be back in a little bit. Zach will be back from his podcast. Lots of fun stuff that happened at the Comedy Store last night. We had a drive-by fat shaming with Zach walking on the streets of Los Angeles. We're going to get into that. Lots more on the Real Ass Podcast. Thanks for listening on Mondays. Kim Congdon.
Thank
on
you.
Twitter, is it?
Kimberly Congdon on Twitter, Kim Congdon everywhere else.
Congdon.
Yep.
There we go. There we go.
Kimberly
Congdon. All right, guys, we'll be back in a little bit.
Bye.
Real Ass Podcast. It's back, bitch. What's up, motherfuckers? Zach and Mika, what's up, bitch?
We are here, baby. We're doing it. We're in LA.
Oh, shit. You're so much louder than me now. What happened?
Sorry.
No, be sorry. I like it. Talk again.
This is me talking. This is the sound of my voice.
Hey. All right. We're doing good. All right. Real Ass Podcast here. do a little music on the background. Mix it up a little bit. This is a specialty fucking mashup show. We're in Los Angeles, California. Zach Amico just got back. I just got back. Last we heard, I was hanging out with Kimberly Congdon in this room. No, we didn't bone. But Zach, there was a sexual chemistry or an energy there. I'm telling you right now, I'm not wrong about these things.
I 100% believe you because you're never wrong about these things.
I'm never. I hate to suck my own dick here.
It might be the only thing you're consistently right about.
It's if you're listening to the show and you're a dude and you're a young dude, because I think older dudes figure this out later on in life. But this is the one piece of advice I didn't give these young dudes. Because I could offer a wealth of advice across a multitude of categories.
A mental fortune is available at your very fingertips.
Yeah, I mean, I got a lot of life to live, baby. All right, whether it be business, comedy, podcasting, fucking
mostly those three things.
That's really it. I couldn't think of anything else. No, but exercise, dieting, there's a lot. I've lived the life, baby. But I will tell you right now, if you could take one thing from this show, if you get a vibe from a chick and you go, I think I'm getting a vibe from that chick, act on that. She fucking wants that cock. Every time. I'm telling you. It's not even me that it's not even.
And if she says she doesn't, she's lying to herself.
She's lying to everybody. But she wants it. Sometimes you got to make her want it. Is this a rape instruction guide? I'm kidding. Don't make her want it, guys. But here's the thing. Most people will ignore that. That feeling, and they'll question themselves and they'll get insecure or whatever it is. But I'm telling you right now, that's the major difference. Take my advice. Act on it every time.
You don't want to be an old man one day and think back on your youth, your virile years, and think, I think that girl might have wanted my dick,
yeah,
but I never did anything.
I have a few of those throughout my younger days, my early 20s, late teens. I'm like, what the fuck did I do? Girls that just were throwing it at me. Not even like, do I think? It's like they threw it at me and I was just a fucking pussy. Didn't pull the trigger.
The same, just looking at the floor saying, aw shucks, shuffling my feet.
Yeah, not good. So look, man, we're here in Los Angeles. It's been a fun trip so far. We got in yesterday. It was not a perfect trip. So here's the thing. So far on this podcast, you heard we got onto the flight. You know, the cab driver dropped us off. He was awesome. Got here. We did our thing last night. Hung out with Kim Congdon today. We got to know each other. We're doing this roast battle on Tuesday. But let's back it up a little bit after we landed, okay? Because I had a little bit of an episode. Zach hasn't seen me have an episode in a little while. I don't have...
And I saw three good ones.
I don't think I've had... I don't have too many episodes in front of you.
No.
Because we are close friends, but our relationship is limited to... We'll go out to, like... events and things here and there together, but we see each other on the podcast a few times a week. We talk a lot. We'll talk on the phone about the show. We'll talk about, you know, things in life and whatever. If we're writing something, we'll write something together. We have a great relationship, but you're not really in my life like
socially outside of.
It is social because our social life is built into our work. But I'm talking about like you're never.
We're not gonna We're not gonna go have brunch.
Yeah, probably not brunch. We're probably never going to go take a cab from brunch to the park to go pick up my kid, to go grab him, to drop him off at school. You're not in that. It's not even social, but it's like these weird, like, areas of my life that are like, not many people are like, Dave Smith is one of the only one of my friends who would do that trip with me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you got to travel with me probably for one of the first times. Did I freak out when we were on the road last time? I don't think
so.
Right?
Oh, yeah, you did, but it was deserved.
What did I freak out about?
At the hotel, on the Indian guy.
Oh, yeah. That's not freaking out. You can't call it freaking out if I'm just... hold on, let me pause that. If I'm just, you know, fucking bringing justice to the world. If I'm bringing...
I also saw you freak out trying to get flyers for Dave's special.
Hmm. Did I freak out?
Yeah, you were very mad when the copy place was closed.
Yeah. That happens a lot. I do things last minute in my
life.
Zach
doesn't see me freak out a lot. Zach sees me freak out three times.
Zach sees me
week.
Freak out every day of my life. Every time you're with me, I probably freak out in front of you. But no, here's the thing. I save a lot of things for last minute in life. And this is one of the things that I've spoken to my therapist about. I can't save things for last minute. I need to do things ahead of time. I need to get it. That's why I have Shannon as my personal assistant now.
I think it's for the best.
She's helped me out with a lot of different things. And I can't afford a personal assistant. I'm fucking poor. I'm going poor paying a personal assistant. It's hilarious because she has access to my bank account. So she will see everything that I have, and it's going to be laughable to her that I'm fucking paying her to do this.
Shannon's going
to
show up next week with two pairs of tits.
Dude, how cool would that be? Could they do the surgery from Mission Impossible? Not Mission Impossible.
Total Recall? Total Recall. Third one in the middle?
I wonder if that's possible. I bet you it is.
Dude, if they can make a dick out of a pussy, they can definitely turn your tummy into a boob.
Yeah, but they don't... you know, that's a thing. That surgery, you order it from a menu.
Yes.
You know, you're like, hey, I want my dick to be turned into a pussy.
Yeah, the number seven.
I'll take the number three, please. Supersizing.
We just high five for no one.
Yes, for no one. But it's just because we both stink and our minds go to the same shitty places. But that's like you order it off a menu. You can't go into any plastic surgery place in the world and just say, oh, I'll take the number 17, which is a third tit in the middle of your chest. You have to go to a specialist that's going to customize that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think there's definitely greedy enough doctors that anything you walked in, you could convince them to do it.
Well, I think it's also...
If they can turn you into a cat person or a fucking mermaid or whatever broads want to be.
I think, but it's a little different, though, because those are all elective surgeries or tattoos or things that you do. Like, people turn themselves into Satan, right?
Yeah.
And then they split down their tongue in the middle,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they have horns implanted.
Yeah, they
top.
Have the implants, and they fucking put scales on their face, they tattoo it. But these are all things you order off some fucking crazy menu,
yes,
at some place that does shit like that. I don't think there's any place to get a third tit on your body in the world. Or some sort of freaky, like, I want to get a leg growing out of my head. Like, or people that have like phantom limb syndrome. What if they're like, oh, dude, I feel like there should be a leg right here.
There were twin plastic surgeons that switched limbs. Like, they experimented on each other, and they cut the arm off one and put it on the other one to see if they could use each other's limbs. I don't think it worked. They were just crazy people.
Let's see. Meet the three boobed women, New York Post. No, this isn't. I fucked a chick with a third nipple for a while. When I was really young. No, this is not real.
I don't believe that's real.
No.
No, that's very fake.
This is the New York Post, dude.
Yeah.
This isn't like
it.
Fucking...
It's fake news.
No, but this is a real website. This isn't like a fucking... The fucking... You know, the...
It's not the Weekly World News. It's not next to Bat Boy.
Yeah. This is Meet the Three Boobed Women. A woman has spent $20,000 on surgery to get the third breast, and her dream is to become a celebrity. The Florida massage therapist who calls herself Jasmine Tri-Devil claims she has the surgery She had the surgery a few months ago.
I think this is a hoax.
This has to be a hoax. There's no way. Dude, well, hold on.
I don't think any credible news organization would use the term boobed. They would probably say breasted.
No, there's no fucking way. Zachy, there's no way.
I don't believe so.
I mean, there's a lot of different angles.
I think it's prosthetics.
Yeah. I don't know if that's illegal or if that's legal. I don't think you can just get the shit like that. Like, you know, there was the rumor that Marilyn Manson had his rib removed.
So he could suck his own dick.
Yeah. And it was just stupid. But it's like, no, there's nobody. I think somebody, I read that somewhere, like they spoke to doctors about this, and it's like, no, you can't actually just go to a doctor and say, hey, fucking Dr. Frankenstein, can you do these freaky surgeries on me? There's rules that come into play with surgery. You can't just fucking do anything. You can't say, all right, I'm going to fucking, can you? I don't know. Are you allowed to?
I'm sure there's a shady doctor somewhere who's not afraid of losing his license or is like crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're in Los Angeles. I don't even know how we got into that whole crazy rant, but we...
What would we be doing in Los Angeles that would lead to us going down that rabbit hole?
A ton of fucking great weed. What a great weed here as well. Like, God damn it, I love the weed in LA.
It's pretty pleasant.
It's delicious. We're in a fucking, an Airbnb for $90 a night. It's painted pink. It's pretty incredible. What a week, guys. So anyway, look. So I got off last night and I freaked out. Okay. I got off the flight. Because first thing I find out is that I left my UFC hat, which is a dope hat, on the flight. So I'm
and we had passed the point of no return, so it's not like you could run back and get
it. Nope, hat's gone. It was a gift from Big J. Love the hat. And now I'm walking around kind of self-conscious, okay? Now, not as much as I used to, because everyone knows that I've joined Equinox now, and I've been shaving my head with Bix, like, almost daily. Every time I go to the gym, I just fucking shave my head. Beautiful. My head looks great, okay? But it had been a couple days since I shaved my head, so it was coming in a little bit self-conscious, okay? So I'm like, all right, well, now I don't got my fucking hat. I'm in a rancid mood. Eli and Mike Feeney leave. Me and you have to get an Uber or a Lyft. I go to call Lyft. It's 100% fucking surge pricing. 100%. So we're going to pay double if we have to take a Lyft, and it made me furious.
You were very angry.
So I'm like, fuck. Fine, fucking cocksucking Lyft. And then I was like, all right, well, now we got to find a taxi stand.
Okay, so wait, let me back up.
Back it up. Because
what happened was we went to the one floor to get picked up. You called the Lyft. It said you cannot get picked up on this floor. So then you freaked out. You're like, ah! However, way before all that, you called me when we were still in New York to ask me to put money into your bank account at a TD Bank. And when I said, how do you want me to do that without your card? You went, fuck, and hung up. So that was how the trip started.
Oh, yeah. I had already freaked out.
So then we had to go to a different floor. Then we got to that floor.
And Zach owed me money for this hotel room, and I didn't want to have a bunch of cash on me, right? So I was like, all right, Zach, can you deposit this? Not thinking, because I'm a fucking retard. So now I'm walking around with, here's the thing, I was already running late. I had a bunch of cash in my pocket. I didn't have time to go to the bank, so I had a bunch of cash already. Then you had more cash to get me. So now I'm walking around with a fucking huge wad of cash for no reason at all in LA, and I'm just a pothead, so I'm gonna leave it somewhere. I thought I forgot everything already. Okay,
since we've been here, you've lost your passport, your computer, and what may or may not be a bag of drugs.
And my hat.
And your hat. Four things.
I actually lost my hat. Yes. All the other things I thought I lost, and I found. And the keys.
Yes, and the keys.
My personal keys. Yes. Yeah, my house keys. Five things.
That's a lot of things.
It's insane. We've been here for a day.
We had been here for 3 hours at that point when all five of those things had happened.
So then
we had to go to a different floor. You call the Lyft. It was double price. You freak out again. You go to call a cab. We had to go to another place.
They sent us to the same floor. They sent us back. We had to go back to a different floor for the cab than we were on for the Lyft, which is crazy.
Eli and his girlfriend saw you because they were still waiting for their bag, and you were just Hulk walking through the airport, and you weren't making sentences. You were just going, where? Employee! Employee, where?
Because there's no employees at LAX.
Yes.
Where were they, Zach?
They were... cowering in fear of the Puerto Rican animal.
There is nobody helping me out. I'm looking for a fucking cab. I can't find it. Finally, we find a fucking cab, okay? And we get over here, and we're having a pretty good night. We're actually having a pretty damn good night, okay? We go to the Comedy Store, and, you know, lots of people there. Brian Redman's there. Tony Hinchcliffe there. Jeff Ross there. And we were going to, we got invited to Jeff Ross's house.
For pizza.
And I just did not want to go.
We were exhausted. It was 5 a.m. our time.
Yeah. Yeah. And Eli and Feeney really wanted to go.
They thought it would be rude to turn down the invitation.
No, it wasn't rude to turn down a fucking invitation. He was just inviting people because we were there. It wasn't like he was like, oh, I really want Eli and Zach and Lewis
to eat pizza in my house.
Who gives a fuck, okay? People are going to his house. I have a weird thing about me, okay? It hits on a few levels, okay? I don't like going into people's nice homes and sort of worshiping their shit.
Yes.
Which I feel like as a bunch of young comics, a bunch of young comics from the Comedy Store, not just us, but a bunch of other people are going over there, there's this kind of weird dick sucky tone to it where you go, I remember when Jay and them were going to Amy Schumer's place and they were like, oh, we're all going to Amy Schumer's after Legion of Skanks. And they're like, oh, Lewis and Dave can't come. Oh, and they were kind of like making fun of us for it. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. I'm not friends with this bitch. Why do you think that I want to go to somebody's home just because they're famous? I am very friendly with Jeff Ross. It's a little different. Yes. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different story. But it was still the vibe that I got from a bunch of young comics leaving the Comedy Store to go to Jeff Ross's home was that. It was kind of like a... like. Oh,
it was
yeah,
super nice of him to invite us. However, yeah. It definitely felt like we were all... It felt like social climbing to go. It felt like people wanted to go just to say... that they were of the echelon of people yeah. that would go do that.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. I don't know. It just wasn't the right. It wasn't the right thing for me. So I was like, "Fuck that." I didn't want to go. We didn't go. And then we ended up going to get tacos. And this was maybe the hardest I've laughed.
This is the hardest I've ever seen you laugh.
I mean, it was fucking great. It was really, really great. We're walking to get tacos down, what it was, Sunset Boulevard, the same block as the Comedy Store. And there's this great little taco spot that I always go to, and it's, you know, it's around the bend. It's kind of a dangerous walk because I'm a New Yorker. In L.A., jaywalking is like a serious offense. If you jaywalk, cops will come and fucking give you a ticket. It's not like, you know, New York, a fucking crosswalk, suck a dick.
And Lewis walks through the middle of the streets like he's playing Grand Theft Auto.
I don't give a fuck, yeah. Dude. I don't follow painted lines on the floor like a fucking bitch boy. That's crazy to me, okay? What is going on here? So in L.A., though, you can't, and there's very specific areas where you have to cross the street. It's not like... You know, so this is a very specific area. We kind of walk around this turning thing. You go down Sunset Boulevard, and a car passes us. And what I can only describe as a drive-by fat shaming, because all we heard...
You guys flew her out here anyway.
She's actually out here, which is funny. All I heard was a drive-by fat shaming. Like, as we're walking, a car speeds by, and I just heard... Fatty!
It was Hey Fatty.
Oh, it was Hey Fatty?
Yeah.
Hey Fatty! It was incredible. It was, I mean, I'm not even being like,
no,
an
I
asshole.
Understand.
Like, it was so fucking funny. I mean, first of all, the person, like, all right, he doesn't know that Zach's a comedian, right? Whoever this person is doesn't know Zach's a comedian who makes fun of his weight and, like, is very open about this. We all bust each other's balls. It's not a, you know, you do roast battles. That's the thing that people talk about, you know, most. You have roasts on YouTube that have millions of views. You're not afraid to be called fat, okay? But the person driving by has no idea. The person driving by
just saw me as a fat piece of shit.
They want you to kill yourself. They are so LA and so fucking like West Coast. And they were like, this fat fuck is walking the streets of Los Angeles in his fatness. And he needs to know that he's too fat and he needs to go home. It's like a racist guy in the South when a black guy's walking his streets and he's like, wrong neighborhood. That was what he said. He said, wrong neighborhood, fatty.
It was humiliating. It all happened so fast. Me and Lewis just looked at each other to process it for a second. The joy that you experienced was beyond anything I've ever seen.
I've never laughed harder.
Happier than you were when you had just finished taping your first Comedy Central appearance.
Yeah, yeah.
You were happier to see a stranger call me fatty.
I was glowing.
Yes.
It was also just hilarious. The way it sounded was great. And we just,
it was a 10 out of 10.
It was perfect. I mean, it couldn't have been any better. Who does that? Who just calls somebody fat as they drive by and is just fucking trying to hurt you?
A complete psychopath.
It's fucking... I didn't even see the type of car. It was all a blur. I wish I knew what type... I wish I knew more details. I have no idea what type of car. You know what it was? They flew by.
Yes.
Then we stopped. We looked at each other. And it was like a full 2 or 3 seconds. We were like, wait a minute. Was that... Yeah, that really was. And then I just started cackling. And... It was like by the time we realized what happened, they were so long gone.
Yes.
But it was pretty incredible.
And thank God you fell in a hole and twisted your ankle right after.
Oh, yeah. Then you had a nice little laugh.
And then you walked like a zombie into a taco place and cleared out a score of hot women.
Mm-hmm.
because you were just an angry Puerto Rican limping.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll fucking do it. So yeah, that was our night, man. It was a good first night.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. I love it out here, Zach. Could you move out here?
I would have to drive.
This is your second time, right?
It's my third time out here. Second as a comedian.
Hmm.
But I was here for 2 weeks with my band.
It's fucking great, dude. It really is. It's a very beautiful, positive vibe in the air in L.A. You know? The L.A. comedy scene, everyone also seems a little crazier, too. There's a lot more like, I mean, there's like fighting and shit in the New York comedy scene, but I feel like in New York, everyone takes it very seriously.
Okay, that fucking crazy dude who was there last night, who was trying to sell people t-shirts for $1.
Yeah, Boom Shakalaka.
Can you imagine?
His name is Boom Shakalaka.
I thought
Zach.
It was Boone.
It might be Boone Shakalaka. I don't know.
Can you imagine a guy like that being allowed to walk around the cellar?
Hmm. No,
never in a million years.
Yeah,
just a fucking crazy person.
He's a homeless person. Well, here's what's funny. He performs on the roast battle.
Yeah,
you're gonna see it. He does like a halftime show where he basically karaoke's "Big Wheels Keep on Turning, Turning Proud." Yeah, Proud Mary.
This guy looks like Little Richard's corpse.
He's like he might be HIV positive. He's like an HIV positive homeless person who sells garbage.
With a pencil mustache.
Yeah, and he sells garbage to people at the comedy store. And people buy it. It's very strange. But I love it. I love the culture of the comedy store. The comedy store is the only place like it in the world. The Creek in the Cave kind of has a thing, like in terms of the layout and the vibe and how cool it is and how open it is and how free everything feels there and like, you know. But the Creek, unfortunately, is in Queens. Unfortunately, besides Legion of Skanks and a select few, doesn't really attract like the A-list, you know, comedians.
It's a pain in the ass to get to. For people that aren't in New York, it's just in a part of New York that's, other than one train, pretty much inaccessible.
It's not even a pain in the ass. It's super easy to get to. Here's the funny part. The Creek is really, really easy to get to. It's actually easier to get to than the Stand.
Yes.
When you consider, it's just forget the fucking lines and where you're going, right? If you are just any place in New York City, in Manhattan, it's probably easier for you to get to the Creek in the Cave than it is the Stand.
Yes, because the Stand has no trains by it.
Yeah, you have to take a specific train, and then you have to walk a few avenues over and a few blocks down in order to get there. The Creek in the Cave has one specific train, but every train gets you to that train.
Yes.
So it's a transfer. It's one transfer to the 7 train, and it's one stop into Queens. So people hear Queens, though, and they're psychologically turned off. They're like, oh, my God, I got to go to Queens, whatever. But Long Island City is like a hotbed, super cool fucking area, and it's super easy to get to. But unfortunately, there's just this thing about it. There's a stigma attached to it that it's not Manhattan. So A-listers aren't just hanging out there the same way they would the Stand or the Comedy Cellar. But the Comedy Store is A-listers, open micers, and middlers all mixed together. The entire perimeter is just fucking bumping. Everyone's drinking, smoking, having a good time. It feels like a party literally every single night. And it's an incredible scene, dude. I'm very, very jealous of what the Comedy Store has, because the two clubs in New York City, the Comedy Cellar and the Stand, they are fucking serious. Like, you got to go there and you got to be very, like, you know, serious about your shit.
Business-minded, respectful.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. You can't fuck around there. And the Comedy Store feels like what you hear about, like, 80s and 90s comedy, like what it was in New York City. You kind of get that vibe at the Comedy Store, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So here's the deal. I know you got to leave in, like, 6 or 7 minutes, yeah. Zach. I want to do some questions.
Give me a fucking answer! Give me a fucking answer! Give me a fucking answer. I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
Okay, so hopefully you guys asked some questions. Maybe not, because I only posted this like 20 minutes ago. So here it is. First of all, also, guys, thank you so much for...
Lewis has the mic in between his legs.
Like my dick.
And he's bent over like he's trying to suck his own dick.
Yeah, bitch. Yeah, no fucking... what assholes? Nobody asked any questions. I guess I should have posted it earlier. I posted it 15 minutes ago.
It's also 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, wait. No. I got some questions.
Okay,
I didn't refresh. Okay, I got a bunch of questions, actually. Yeah, bitch. So listen, first of all, right now, go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. I didn't do any plugs on today's show. It's fine. Not a big deal, guys. But if between May 1st and June 1st, if you leave us a 5-star ranking and positive review, I'm picking 3 random people on iTunes, and we're giving them one of the brand new Real Ass Podcast t-shirts. We have 2 new t-shirts in the store, so go to guestdigitalnetwork.com and check out the shop. And you can buy some shirts too, fuckfaces. How about that? Don't just leave us a review. Buy a fucking shirt. The shirts are dope. And the Skull Snake shirt is limited time. It's only going to be available this summer, and then we got a couple new designs coming out. So go grab a limited edition Real Ass Podcast shirt. Real Ass Question segment. Here it is. Shannon, hit that music. Hopefully she edited all that together the right way. We'll see. All right, you know what's up, man? Usually it's the mornings of the show on Monday and Wednesday mornings. I will post something to Facebook, or you guys can email the questions directly to GomezComedy.com. If you go to the contact section, you just fill out the page in the subject line, put Real Ass Questions. I could pull some questions from there. I'm not doing it right now because I did not preset that up and check those questions. So, okay, here it is, guys. Great fucking show, Zach. It's been a great one. It's a fun one. Very different, very unique.
I think people are going to like it.
Yeah. All right. This is LA part one. LA part two will be out. We're going to do another. We're going to do a whole other LA show, probably with some more people, some crazy shit. It's all happening, guys. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a crazy week. All right. Here it is. All right. Chris Wieniger. One of my favorite names of a fan.
What's up, Wieniger?
Chris Wieniger. I always imagine him just being a tiny black midget.
Oh, on jockey?
Yeah. He wants to know, any Philly stops this summer? You guys packed the place last time. Yeah, I'll go back to Philly. I'm gonna do some shit.
Good time.
Yeah, let's do it, Zachy. We'll do a fucking... me and Dave have been killing it doing these co-headlining things. So I think, you know, this time we'll probably do a much larger venue in Philly. But if you guys want us in Philly, you fucking got it. You know what's up, man. We'll come out and we'll do... You know, at the very least, a stand-up show and a live podcast. Let's see. Grady Elliott, great question, wants to know, who is the most real-ass Muppet on Sesame Street? It's got to be Oscar, right? Who's the most real-ass Muppet? I got to say, you know who I like?
I'm going Snuffleupagus.
Why?
He's got a realistic view on things. He's not afraid to talk about his anxiety.
What is he? I don't remember. I don't really
know.
He's never really around anymore on Sesame Street.
Oh, is he not?
I mean, he is once in a blue, but he's not one of the characters that they're shoving down your throat. Sesame Street now, and I watch Sesame Street regularly, okay, on the regs.
Yeah, sometimes James is there.
No, never. He hates it.
Get this fag shit off,
man. Yeah, he's like, come on, can we please just watch some Game of Thrones?
But I'm BET.
No. He fucking loves it. And Elmo dominates Sesame Street. Cookie Monster dominates. That little bitch Abby dominates. Okay. Big Bird's there a lot, but not as much as you think. Snuff, not really there that often. You know? Grover's there a lot. Not as much as you'd think. Grover's a fuck. Grover was my favorite, dude.
Yeah.
Super Grover to the rescue. Woo! Dude, it's just, even his line, I think that's one of the funniest, like, it's just written well, right? You know, he's like, Super Grover to the rescue. And then his line is, he shows up. I think that's so funny to me for some reason. He shows up. Like, just, there's something like self-deprecating.
Setting the bar
and just
low.
Fucking like Super Grover to the rescue. He shows up. That's fucking great. I don't know.
Stepdad to the rescue.
Yeah. He's there. At least he showed up. The very minimum amount of effort. He's going to show up and we'll see what happens. Love it.
Love it.
But the most real ass... You know, I really do. They got a new character. We talked about it on Legion of Skanks called Julia, and she's autistic. And it's just kind of like, look, we made fun of it on Legion of Skanks, and then I watched it with my son, the character's premiere, and they introduce her, and it's just like, you know, it's just kind of heartbreaking. They got this fucking, you're not heartbreaking, but it's like, it's just kind of sweet that they are trying to do that and introduce kids with autism to kids, because literally, it's just a retarded Muppet.
Yes.
I mean, not retarded, but she won't answer questions. You know, if a kid was playing with some shit and wouldn't answer a question over and over and over again, be like, hey, retard, you fucking throw a shoe at it. You know, and now they're teaching you like, hey, no, this is Julia. She, you know, she does things a little bit differently. This is just the way that she does it. Mm-hmm. And the kids have to learn, and, you know, Big Bird gets all frustrated with her. What the fuck, is her pecking her retard head? But I
if
like...
If you play with her tits, she can't tell anyone.
Wait, what the fuck was that?
I don't know.
This is Yoda?
I don't know.
Yoda's coming in and raping people?
Yes.
It's a crossover episode. It's a very special Sesame Street.
Oh, nice areola she has. Jesus Christ. So here's the deal. I think Julia's good. I like the fact that they're doing that. It's stupid. I know it's fucking gay. But I do kind of like the fact that, look, my son now, you know, I'm going to discuss autism with him. And it's a thing that I think parents would ignore. Parents would...
Well, even in my age, you just would have been a weird kid.
Yeah, you're just a weird kid. Yeah. And I think parents... The idea of explaining autism to my son was never something that really crossed my mind, right? You know, going through... You know, even like I'm looking for a school right now. I'm looking for another preschool and trying to find the right program. Like 5 years ago, I would have never guessed. I would have never in a million years thought that I would be going through like different preschools and speaking to directors and sitting in on classes to see how they do things and looking at the different types of, you know, learning methods and teaching methods that they have at these schools. It's pretty fucking crazy, you know, and I definitely never thought I'd be explaining autism to a child, you know, so. And it becomes a thing where it almost forces the parents to have to do that. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. You know, my son now is going like, you know, he's a little bit too young to really grasp what it means, you know, to follow the storyline like that. But he's kind of getting it. And he'll probably watch that episode at one point and go like, well, what is the deal with that? And I'm going to have a conversation with my son, what the difference is between autistic kids and other kids. And I'm going to have to go and fucking educate myself about it because I don't really know that much.
Yeah, you'll have to learn. It forces everyone to learn about it and discuss it openly.
So yeah, that's fucking real. What do you want me to say? If you were talking about it in a real way, that's pretty fucking real ass, you know? So let's get one or two more questions. I know you got to go, Zachy. Zach Attack, sucking on my cack. Zach Attack, sucking on my cack. Zach Attack, sucking on my cack. Oh, he's Zach. He sucks my cack. All right. Here it is. All right. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. Ooh, baby, I like it raw. All right, two more questions, Zach, because they're both good. One's very short.
All right.
Bill Jordan wants to know, how many hours a week do you spend in a steam room, and how many hours would be too many? I'll count up the hours.
None.
You do none. Okay. I spend, I would say, on average, 5 days a week, 30 to 40 minutes in the steam room.
So between 2.5 and 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's fair. In the steam room. And I don't do it straight. I do it usually in 15-minute intervals. I go in for 15 minutes, get a really nice sweat, go out, I'll shave my head, shave my face, go back in another 15 minutes, come out, you know, do, you know, clean my ears, rinse my mouth, fucking pick my teeth, all this other shit, do all this, like, nice stuff, feel good, go back in another little one, shower up, boom, done. Sometimes a 30-minute session, you know, try to get 40 in. 215 minutes into 10 at the end. Nothing makes me happier. And then I get out, I shower, I fucking put on some, you know, they have really nice body lotion, face lotion, you know, and then I walk out and it's, you know, it's a whole fucking process. It's another hour of my life, but I walk out feeling like $1 million. I walk down the street and I go, yeah, motherfucker. I look down at homeless people.
Well, you have to, they're laying there.
Unbelievable. Feels so good. So, all right, last question. Here it is, guys. Stephanie Jones, if you're 20 and trying to bang a 16-year-old, does that make you an actual pedophile now? Stephanie spelled pedophile, P-E-D-O-F-I-L-E. So, Stephanie, good for you.
I don't know. It's not like we had a conversation about this recently.
Last night. No, yes. If you're trying to bang a child... Okay, 16's not a 16. That's a great Chappelle bit. Like, how old is 15?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Depends on how old. It depends on how old the 16-year-old looks. Because I've seen 16-year-olds that look like children, that have braces, that look skinny. They haven't developed. Their bodies haven't developed. Like, that's, if you're trying to fuck that, that's a child. If she looks like she's 12, she looks like she's 12. But then you can see a 15 or 16-year-old girl that has big tits and a big ass, and she looks like a woman, right? And, you know, the age...
If you're telling me that Cash Me Outside girl doesn't have great tits, you're lying to my face.
I've never seen her tits.
They're incredible.
I wish Shannon could pull the tits up right now. We'll do this next week on
Shannon,
the show.
Shannon, pull the tits up.
Shannon, pull your tits out. Oh, Shannon's got her tits out right now. If you're just tuning in, Shannon's just playing with her tits.
Filthy bitch.
Shannon, stop fingering yourself on the show. Guys, I'm so sorry. She's really very aggressive sometimes on the show, sexually. But no, where this comes from is last night I was going to buy a bowl at this little head shop, and there was these maybe 14 or 15-year-old girls. They couldn't be a day over 14 or 15 years old, and they were wearing booty shorts, and they had makeup on, and they were dressed like horse, okay? And the point that I made to you, I came back to you, I was like, these fucking little girls, like, am I a creep that I literally looked at this girl's ass? Like, I know that she's 15. There's no way she's not 15 years old. You know what I'm saying? She's dressed like she's 20. But am I a creep for looking at that as a sexual thing? I think I'm just being honest and saying the truth, which is like, yeah, obviously, like, that's fucking, you know, physically attractive to the eye. The age doesn't fucking matter. You know what I'm saying? The age is technically just a number. If you just find out that number, if it just makes you, if you're just attracted to it with your eyes, I don't know, you're just kind of fucking saying it. It's acting upon it that makes you a fucking pedophile.
Absolutely. And if we weren't supposed to be
a 20-year-old girl that looks like she's 12, yeah. So you're not a pedophile because she's 20? No, you're more of a fucking pedophile. If you're attracted to a 20-year-old girl that has a thin waist and no tits and she looks like a fucking 12-year-old girl, and you're like, oh, because she's 20, I would fuck her. But then there's a 15-year-old girl with big tits and a big ass and has a womanly body and looks like a woman. But because she's 15 and that number, you know she's 15, you're saying like, oh, well, no, I wouldn't do that, but I do that. That's a phony thing. You're just lying.
There's a reason Catholic schoolgirl outfits are sold in porn shops.
Yeah.
That's just a thing that guys find attractive.
We're all pedophiles is the point, guys. No, but it's not a pedophile. I think a pedophile, when I think of the term pedophile, you want to have sex with the child, okay? Yes. I don't think a 15 or 16-year-old girl that looks like a woman, that has the body of
children
a woman.
Children don't have just fat asses and big titties.
Yes, exactly, okay? And that's the difference. So you have this number, and you use that term pedophile, and it is a very heavy, it's like, there's certain words, like rape and pedophile. Those are fucking huge fucking charges. So I think you need to kind of make it black and white. Yes, I think it should be a crime to fuck a 15-year-old girl. I don't think she's mentally developed enough to make a decision whether or not she should fuck you, right? The fact that she's dressing that way tells you that she probably doesn't have the fucking parental base at home that is giving her any sort of real guidance. She's looking for attention from men. Those girls that came in that head shop, those 15-year-old girls that came in that head shop, their ass were hanging out. They were looking for attention from men, and there's a reason for that.
They're like, head shop? Oh, it's just weed stuff.
Oh, I thought we were coming to get a load all over our face. Welcome
we
to
are hacks.
Yeah, we stink. So, but you know what I'm saying? Like, those girls are looking for attention. So there's something about that just inherently when they're dressing that way. And, you know, I know we got into an argument with those girls for saying the term daddy issues. But yeah, dude, if there's a 15-year-old girl who's dressing like super slutty and promiscuously and throwing on a bunch of makeup, like, there's something there, you know? And if you're a man, if you're a 30-year-old man and you're taking advantage of that, there's something fucked up about you. You're at the very least creepy. Are you fucking children? No. Should you be called a pedophile and maybe be stabbed to death in prison because that's what they do to pedophiles? No. That's a way different thing, okay? And no, if you're a 20-year-old and you fuck a 15-year-old, I don't know. I don't really even see a huge problem with that. I think that there should be a difference in age. There should be a big jump there. I know that there are in certain states. Right?
Yeah, I think it's some states are like 16, but you can't be older than 18.
Something like that. Or I think that there should be that. And don't get me wrong, I'm sure that they do take that into consideration and that there's nuance. So if some 16-year-old girl is dating a 21-year-old and then their parents press charges, I'm sure the judge looks at it and goes, okay, he's not 35 years old. He's not fucking a child. He's a fucking kid himself. 21-year-olds are kids, okay? When I was 19, I was fucking like a 16-year-old girl. Definitely.
Yeah, I have a number similar to that as well. That I won't say on the podcast.
I was definitely fucking
one of the numbers is the same.
Dude, let me tell you something. Yeah, she was 16. I was 19. The three nipple girl.
It all comes back around, guys.
Holy shit, guys. This is what a good host I am. Third nipple girl was 16. I was 19. And yeah, she was fucking just cute chick. Was I a criminal? Is there a statute of limitations on that? Can I get in trouble for this? Should we delete this?
Is this evidence?
No, that can't be a crime. Is that a crime?
No, I think you did.
19 and 16? That shouldn't be a crime, period.
No.
I would do my jail time for it just because
it shouldn't be a crime if she has her period.
I believe that should be the rule right there. If she's got her period, boom.
Go nuts.
Old enough to bleed, old enough for me. Remember all those for when we were kids?
Old enough to bleed and old enough to breed.
Old enough to pee, old enough for me. If there's grass on the field, play ball. That was a good one, right?
If there's not, flip it over and play in the mud.
Ooh, never heard that one. Remember good old child pedophile joke. What's the best part about fucking 9-year-old.
What?
Pretending she's 5.
Oh.
What's the best part about fucking a 5-year-old?
What?
Hearing her pelvis crack.
I always hear, what's the best part of fucking a 9-year-old girl?
I already
slicking her hair back, pretend she's an 8-year-old boy.
Oh, no, I didn't know that one. Yeah. Or what's the best part of fucking a 7-year-old boy?
What?
Or no, what's the worst part about fucking a 7-year-old boy?
What?
Cleaning the blood off your clown suit?
No, very good, very good.
Mm.
How do you make a 5-year-old girl cry twice?
How?
Wipe your bloody dick on her teddy bear?
Oh, come on. Yeah, we're going to go. Sick jokes when I was a kid, like, that's, I loved him. We'll do more, dude. Yeah. We'll do some more street jokes. I did the Bennington street joke show, and I came with all jokes like this, and the crowd was like, what the fuck are you doing? Joe List came with these great, elaborate, cute, like, street jokes.
Yeah,
that were, like,
clever. But those are the jokes I told when I was 12.
When I was 12, they were all like, you know, fucking, you know, what's blue and orange and lays at the bottom of a swimming
Why
pool?
Why are a certain group of people afraid of chainsaws?
Why?
Run, nigga, nigga, nigga. Run, nigga, nigga, nigga. You never heard that?
No, that's a great one. That's a great one. What's blue and orange and lays at the bottom of a swimming pool?
What?
A baby with pop swimmies. Yeah. All right, look, we're going to wrap this one up. Real Ass Podcast, LA Trip, Part 1. Myself and Zach Amico will be coming at you Wednesday for part 2, guys. So thank you so much for subscribing to Gas Digital if you're watching live, or if you're listening live, rather. Go to our iTunes one more time. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. Appreciate the support and the love. We'll check you next time on the Real Ass Pod, motherfuckers. Peace.